Okay, well, welcome everyone to the Dr. Hedberg Show. And today's topic is how to improve digestion. And about 2,000 years ago, the Greek physician Hippocrates said, all disease begins in the gut. And that's, I would agree, in many, many cases of chronic illness that the source of the illness is really started in the gut. So digestion is extremely important. It's something that is often overlooked. It's not necessarily something high tech, or the latest and greatest thing. It's just one of those basics that a lot of people forget about, but you can have significant improvements in your health, getting your digestion working really well. So before we talk about how to improve your digestion, let's just get into some of the causes of bad digestion. So number one, definitely eating very quickly or eating while on the run. You know, sometimes I'm out driving during lunch and I see someone, stuffing a fast food burger down their mouth while they're driving. That's definitely not what you want to do if you want to have good digestion. A lot of people eat very, very quickly. They're doing other things while they're eating, like they're checking Facebook, texting, talking on the phone. They might be watching TV or like watching the news and reading and all that kind of stuff. And that will definitely disrupt your digestion. So basically, your autonomic nervous system, it has two branches, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. And the parasympathetic branch is the so-called rest and digest branch. This is really what you want to be dominant in when you're eating and you're digesting food. This is the part of your nervous system that really make sure that you're making enough stomach acid, making digestive enzymes, that there's plenty of blood in the stomach and the intestine so that you can digest food well. And then the opposite branch is the sympathetic branch, and that's the fight or flight response. That's what people are mainly under, which is a stressful part of the nervous system. And it's the sympathetic nervous system that releases adrenaline when you're under stress. And so when the sympathetic nervous system is dominant, a lot of blood is taken away from the stomach because digestion is not really a priority to the body when it's under stress. And then that reduces stomach acid production, and digestion really suffers when you're in that fight or flight sympathetic dominant branch. So anything that will kick you out of your parasympathetic branch and into your sympathetic is going to disrupt digestion. And so that would include anything physically or emotionally, psychologically, that would kick you into the sympathetic state. Once again, adrenaline is released and digestion is just not a priority. A lot of people watch the news, while they're eating. And for those of you here in the United States can appreciate what I'm talking about, those overseas might not have the same outlook on the news. But here in the U.S., the news is basically fear and trauma and anxiety producing. Usually you're just seeing catastrophic events, car accidents, tornadoes, lightning, people dying, rape, shootings. Really, that's really what the news is here, and it's designed to scare people and get them stressed and worried. And that's the worst thing you want to do while you're eating. So you definitely want not just avoid television, but you want to avoid the news, especially if you're in the United States. All right, so let's talk about some different conditions that can cause bad digestion. So Helicobacter pylori. H. pylori, this is a bacteria in the stomach, and it overgrows when someone is under a lot of stress. And H. pylori will lower stomach acid levels, and that'll create poor digestion. and it may sound kind of paradoxical, but a lot of times low stomach acid leads to heartburn, and that's because food is not being digested properly, and so it's regurgitating up into the esophagus. So the conventional approach to heartburn is antacids, whereas the functional medicine approach is actually to make sure that you have plenty of stomach acid so that you're digesting your food well, and then figuring out the reason why the food is regurgitating into the esophagus. So that particular bacteria, H. pylori, it causes ulcers. We've all known people who have been under a tremendous amount of stress, and then they develop an ulcer. And that's because of the cortisol, and the H. pylori eats away at the stomach lining, and then they get an ulcer. So H. pylori is one of the things that you might want to be checked for if you're having a lot of gas or bloating or burping after meals or really poor digestion. It's also connected to a number of autoimmune diseases like Hashimoto's, thyroiditis, and Graves' disease. So that's one thing to definitely look for. The other thing is called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, also known as SIBO, S-I-B-O. So normally your large intestine has about 10 times as many bacteria as the small intestine. And in SIBO, it's the opposite. There's a lot more bacteria in the upper GI compared to the lower. And that usually happens to people who have taken a lot of antibiotics throughout their life, or they've eaten a lot of sugar and processed carbohydrates. And that leads to bacterial overgrowth where it shouldn't be. And then irritable bowel syndrome is basically SIBO. And the symptoms of SIBO and irritable bowel are going to be gas, bloating, abdominal pain, abdominal cramps, fatigue, weight gain with difficulty losing weight, feeling like you don't completely empty your bowel when you have a bowel movement. You might have alternating constipation and diarrhea, inconsistently formed stools, like random changes in the size, shape, and color of your stool, passing mucus in the stool. Another sign is feeling hungry shortly after meals. So maybe 20 to 30 minutes after you've eaten, you're hungry right away. That can be another sign. Fatigue after meals and brain fog. So those are some of the top signs of SIBO and irritable bowel that could be really throwing off your digestion. And then there are some other conditions that can cause low stomach acid and bad digestion. So hypothyroidism, definitely number one. So the lower your thyroid function, the lower your stomach acid, and that will create digestive problems. And hypothyroidism, 90% of those cases are due to the autoimmune disease, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So you may want to get checked for that. Hyperthyroidism due to Graves' disease can also create a lot of digestive problems. Adrenal stress. So if you're under a lot of physical or emotional stress, when cortisol increases, that suppresses stomach acid production. And that cortisol also eats away at the stomach lining and causes ulcers and H. pylori, like we talked about before. So the adrenal glands are really key with good digestion and good stomach acid. If you're deficient in zinc, you may have low stomach acid because zinc is required for stomach acid production. And I've written an article on zinc that you can read on my website. I've linked to it on this blog page at drhedberg.com, how to improve digestion. In the blog, I've got links to all the articles that I'm talking about today. A B vitamin deficiency. Some of the B vitamins are really important for stomach acid production. And the B vitamins are usually eaten up when someone's under a lot of stress. And then if you have any kind of intestinal infection, like intestinal parasite, yeast overgrowth, bacteria, bacterial dysbiosis, any imbalances there or infections or overgrowth, that can definitely create digestive problems. Leaky gut syndrome, food sensitivities like gluten, dairy, sugar, eggs, a lot of grains people have sensitivities to, those can also create some inflammation in your gut and suppress stomach acid production. And those food sensitivities can definitely can really throw things off. Gallstones and celiac disease. So celiac disease is, of course, the autoimmune disease related to gluten. So if you have any of those that I listed, you definitely want to get checked for those by a functional medicine practitioner who can really find the root cause of your digestive system problems. Because the conventional approach is usually just going to be antacids, proton pump inhibitors, which really have a number of long-term side effects. If you suppress stomach acid, then you'll start to become deficient in various vitamins and minerals because you need that acid to break those down, digest them, and absorb them. And you also might develop like a protein deficiency because acid is really important for protein digestion and absorbing and assimilating those amino acids from protein. And so over time, those antacids, proton pump inhibitors, they'll also start to cause intestinal dysbiosis, meaning that the bacteria in your gut are out of balance. And that dysbiosis creates a whole host of health problems, not just in the gut, but it can also affect the brain, your mood, like depression, anxiety. It creates inflammation, and it can also make it really difficult for some people to lose weight if they have dysbiosis, even if they're eating well. So that's something to think about. Those antacids can be really important for a short period of time if the heartburn is really bad. But again, you really want to get to the bottom of the reason why you have the heartburn in the first place. So let's just go over some basic strategies now that you can do to improve your digestion. First thing you want to do is chew your food slowly and completely. And you want to chew it until it's almost liquid in your mouth before you swallow it. So that takes a little bit of extra time. But the more you chew your food and the more liquid it is, the less work your stomach and your small intestine has to work to really digest your food well. So you'll notice probably a little bit of an increase in your energy levels by chewing your food thoroughly. Because like I said, it just takes a lot of stress off of your gut to do all that extra work that you could have done in your mouth just by chewing your food a lot more than you normally would. And then, of course, you want to be in a really quiet and comfortable place, no distractions. I talked about these things earlier, like not watching TV, not looking at your cell phone, not checking Facebook, don't be on your computer, don't read things, anything that could be distracting you. You just want to be focused on your food and the meal. And think about how grateful you are for the food that you have. That's another thing. There's a lot of people in this world that really don't have enough to eat. Millions of children, you know, every year die of starvation because they don't have enough to eat. And we're very fortunate, you know, in the U.S. or if you're in an industrialized nation, we really have plenty of food. It's just not something that we need to worry about, but we're not the only one. So think about that when you're eating. Just be grateful that you have, you know, as much food as you do. Keep your portion sizes pretty reasonable. So usually, I like to say use the size of your fist as a portion, or look at the palm of your hand. So we might say use your palm to identify how much protein to eat. So if you're going to have like a chicken breast or some meat, your protein source should be about the size of the palm of your hand. And then vegetables, you can use your fist. So one or two fist sizes of vegetables. Carbohydrates, that's dependent on what your goals are and your body type and how insulin resistant you may be. But we usually just say a small handful of carbohydrates. And then for fat, we say 1 to 2 thumbs. So like 1 to 2 thumb sizes of nuts or olive oil, any kind of fat source. And those, just using your hand like that, you know, that usually makes it pretty easy to just kind of visually see how much you really should be eating. Squeezing some lemon or lime in some water, that can be room temperature water or warm water, that can really help with digestion. I don't recommend ice water, so whenever I'm out, I always ask for water with lemon with no ice. The ice really cools down the stomach, and you want it to be nice and warm so that you'll make more stomach acid. And then there are some supplements that can help, like betaine HCl, which is just straight hydrochloric acid. And then there are other products that have digestive enzymes. They have the pancreatic enzymes. Some of them have a little bit of the HCl in them as well. And then you can also use plant-based enzymes, and those don't have any of the HCl. You could also use what are called Swedish bitters, and these are bitter herbs that you just take before you eat. And these particular herbs stimulate digestion, so they have a warming effect on the stomach. They increase acid production, and then they also stimulate the pancreas and the gallbladder, so you get plenty of bile and plenty of pancreatic enzymes to digest your food. Now, I don't recommend this long term, but some people do really well with a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar. That really helps with digestion. The key here is that vinegar will eat away at your tooth enamel, and you can never get that back once it's gone. So I don't recommend the vinegar for long periods of time. Or if you were going to do it, you'd want to take it through a straw so that it bypasses your teeth. Put your fork and your spoon down and your knife in between bites. So take your bite, put your utensils down or your chopsticks, and thoroughly chew your food. Then pick them up again and just keep doing that. That actually will help to trim down on how quickly you're eating. Ginger tea is really good to stimulate digestion. So I like to drink a lot of ginger tea, and that really helps to increase acid production in the stomach. Ginger is anti-inflammatory, has a real warming effect on the stomach and the digestive system. So ginger is great. It's a great digestive aid. And then lastly, you want to breathe deeply into your belly while you're eating. A lot of people, you know, they're wolfing down their food, they're eating fast, but you want to breathe deeply into your stomach in between bites. That helps to kind of massage the intestines. It also, deep belly breathing also helps to get you into a parasympathetic, remember our rest and digest branch of your nervous system, and that'll help get you out of the sympathetic dominant state if that's where you are at the time of eating. I do want to mention probiotics and prebiotics. Probiotic-rich foods do help with digestion. For example, some people just don't do well with dairy products, but they're completely fine with yogurt or kefir, for example. And that's because these cultured dairy products have bacteria in them, and that changes the way your body digests them. And it also changes the way your immune system responds to the dairy that you eat. Also, non-dairy-based probiotic-rich foods like kimchi, which is a Korean fermented food, really helps. And then we've got our classic sauerkraut, which is the fermented cabbage, pickles. And I've linked to an article and a podcast I did about how to restore your gut flora. So I talk in detail in that article and that podcast about probiotic and prebiotic-rich foods. Prebiotic-rich foods are just foods that have a lot of compounds in them that help to feed bacteria. And that's usually fiber and plant-based foods that your bacteria really like. So those are some additional things to read about and think about adding into your meals, which really help with digestion. You know, it's just kind of a classic thing. You get a sandwich at a deli, and it always includes a pickle because the pickle really helps with digestion. So that's one example. And then in like Japanese culture, miso might be included with the meal, like a miso soup or something like that. Something like that really helps with digestion. And those are some examples of some probiotic and prebiotic rich foods. So digestion, it does require a lot of energy. So again, the more you can do to help it by chewing thoroughly, relaxing, getting in a more parasympathetic state, and doing all the things that we talked about, you'll take a big strain off of your body. And by supporting your digestion, you'll get a lot better, a lot healthier bacterial colonies. So it'll help eliminate dysbiosis. Your digestion should improve. You'll notice your bowel movements become a lot more consistent, a lot more stable. And you should just notice a better overall sense of well-being and usually a lot more energy, because there's just not a lot of energy, additional energy required to digest all your food if you're doing all these strategies that we talked about. So go to drhedberg.com. In the blog, you'll see my article, How to Improve Digestion, where I have a lot of links to the things that we've talked about today. I hope these have been helpful for you. Again, not cutting edge or high tech, all that exciting, but a lot of times just these basic things that we've talked about today can significantly improve your overall health so you can start feeling better. All right, this is Dr. Hedberg signing off on the Dr. Hedberg Show, and I will talk to you next time. Take care.